All right, I'm not going to keep you long today, but I do want to mention a few things. I've titled the message, Christ, Our All, in 2022. Christ, Our All, in 2022. And as we are, 2 days into this new year, just 2 days, we are so thankful that, number one, we're here. My wife and I were talking on the 30th, and we were giving thanks to the Lord that He'd given us grace and saw fit to keep us here this long, because as we were just thinking about the goodness of God, we also mentioned, as we know and you know, on Thursday, we knew that there would be people who would not see New Year's Day. And we, while we were talking, we even mentioned to one another, and one of those people could be us. That's a reality. It's a reality, right? For what is your life, James 4:13, thereabouts, James 4:11. What is your life? It is but a vapor that is here for a moment, and then it's gone. And, you know, when you get older, that scripture becomes very, it kind of like was in the distance when you're young. But when you get older, it kind of like comes up on you. You really begin to come into proximity to your own finiteness and the fact that, yeah, you could be here today and gone tomorrow. And just as surely as we were saying that, the next day or 2 days after that, Betty White passed away. And the whole world, you know, well, all of America is like, it's all over the news, just running on and on and on. We don't know what a year holds, but God does. And He's faithful to keep us through all of what the year holds. So now we're in 2022. What to expect? What to expect from 2022. Now, one thing that's big in America, I don't know if it's big in other countries, but one thing that's big in America amongst a good portion of the, well, I'm going to say a portion of the church, is New Year prophecies. New Year prophecies. Yeah. Because people want to know. You know, there's the inquiring minds that want to know, but people, there's other people want to know what the year holds, right? And I'm sure people want to know what's in store for this year. So let's see a 2022 prophecy. Let's see if I can come up with one. Hey, because listen, there's money to be made. There's money to be made. Oh, well, this is America, for goodness sakes, right? There's money to be made, and nothing goes on in America if there's no money to be made. Because let's be real. Let me stop. Let me say this. There are no end to 2020 prophecies on the internet. They're just galore. They're out there. But let me ask this question. Where in the scriptures do we see God giving a yearly prophecy of what's to come to the children of Israel? Or in the New Testament? Do we see it? We don't see it. No. So where does all this business come from? Well, it comes from our lust. It comes because we want to know. We have itching ears. People have itching ears. They want to know, well, this prophet said and that prophet said. Reminds me of what Pastor Moses said on Tuesday in prayer. He said, he was thinking about 2019, and he remembered many of the prophets saying that 2020 was going to be a year of increase, a year of blessing. It was going to be a year of promotion and prosperity. And all of them were prophesying all these grandiose prophecies. And 2020 came. And what did we get? A deadly pandemic. Economic ruin. People just, the world shut down. The world was thrown in to all types of unrest and uncertainty. And people didn't know what was going on. And, but yet the prophets said, Jesus said that there would be false teachers, false prophets, Come on, false apostles in the scriptures. Remember Deuteronomy 18:22. Listen at what it says. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Ain't that deep? Let me say it again. The Lord said, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And the way I interpret that is that he spoke it out of his own heart, out of his or her own mind. When it says you shall not be afraid of him, to me, that means you shall pay no attention to that person. And if that is the case, then churches should be emptied out now, should be hollow, should be no one in them, not a soul. Why? Because all kinds of crazy prophecies were going forth and none of it came to pass. But you know what we do? No, we run back up in there. Oh, I got to hear what the bishop got to say. I got to hear what the prophet got to say. Why do I say that? You know me. I'm a person of the book. I'm a person of the book. Love the book. And I've said this before. You want your 2020 prophecy? I can tell you where to get it. It's right here. It's right here. Hey, what you need to know about your life in 2022 is right here. Yeah, it's right in the book. And so, you know, but based upon what we just talked about with these prophets, I can see why now Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said this, despise not prophesying. When I first read that, I'm like, why would people despise prophecy? That makes sense. Why would you despise prophecy? My sister told me in her church, if you try to give someone a personal prophecy, they will tell you stop. Don't do that, you know. And she didn't have to tell me why. She had to tell me why. I know why they have that policy. You know why? Because of all of the craziness that people like to prophesy over someone else. Now, they won't have it come to themselves, but I surely tell you about what the Lord wants to do in your life when they don't even know what the Lord wants to do in their lives. Come on now. Come on. If it don't work for you, how's it going to work for me? Hello. So, no, Paul said, despise not prophesying. And true prophecy, according to the scripture, does God speak? Will he give direction to someone through someone else? Yes, but it's not an everyday thing. Matter of fact, it's rarely an every year thing. It's not an every year thing. You want to know what's more in common with the prophetic gift is edification, exhortation, and comfort. People need to hear that. People need to hear the Lord says, I see you, I know you, and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to protect you. Look, that's book. That's right here. I can turn Isaiah and get that. As a matter of fact, that's where the prophecy starts, by the way. Because once it doesn't align with this, then I got questions about what you're prophesying. Amen. We were taught when we were these folks' age. I don't know how old they are. I got an idea. But when we were these folks' age, we were in the church. And we had a prophet as a pastor. And he had an extremely accurate word of knowledge, prophetic gift. But he taught us as we would be worshiping in the church, because crazy gifting attracts crazy people. I'm sorry, this is just the way it is. And when the people would come into the church and they would just pop up and stand up and start prophesying about snakes and dragons and all kind of weirdness. And our pastor taught us, when don't get alarmed when people do that. Just start to sing in the spirit. Tendele bele siri aramando. And we would just drown them out. And they'd be prophesying, trying to prophesy. And we'd be just worshiping the Lord, lost in God. And then they would shut up. And eventually they would leave. Preaching that, prophesying that nonsense. Now, let me say this. There is a legitimate prophetic ministry in the church. And our brother back here has a legitimate prophetic gift. Okay? I'm talking about Brother Carl. But watch this. Here's the problem. The true prophetic gift is not this shiny object that we've made it to be. It's not this where you stand, the prophet's at the front and he's calling you up and now he almost looks like God. And you're coming to him, to the oracle, to get the word of God. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, you want to, I am not on my notes, y'all. I'm a little bit outside the notes yet, but let me say what I got to say. So a matter of fact, let me say this. The true prophetic and legitimate gifting works like this. God will not tell a prophet to tell you something that God has not already told you. Everybody should be running up and jumping, right? Yeah. You should be running around. Woo! No. Read your Old Testament. Just think about the Old Testament. Think about 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, where Samuel's this little boy and Eli has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas, we may get to this. I may not. This is going somewhere. Anyhow, Hophni and Phinehas were priests who weren't walking with the Lord. And Samuel's this little boy. Matter of fact, he's not even born in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But anyhow, Samuel's sons are not walking with the Lord. And Samuel, the Lord sends a prophet to Samuel. They don't even name the prophet. They look, but talk to a prophet today. They'd be saying, oh, I'm Prophet Fauntroy. Don't forget that. I'm prophet. God didn't even name the prophet in 1 Samuel. But we have to be recognized. We have to be named. When I see that, I say, Lord Jesus, what are we doing? God have mercy on us because we are so wrong. Because remember, there is a legitimate prophetic ministry and gifting in the church. Agabus was one in the New Testament, called by name Agabus. Many of the others, Paul was a prophet. Barnabas was a prophet. Silas was a prophet. Judas was a prophet. But the New Testament isn't. Didn't do with the prophetic ministry what we've done with it today. Okay? So God sends this prophet to Eli. He says, you need to straighten out your sons. Because they're sinning. They're not just sinning. They're doing it in the temple. These were men chosen by God to be priests through their father Aaron. And yet they looked at the priesthood and kicked out and said, we don't care anything about it. We're going to do what we want to do. God sent them a prophet. And Eli didn't listen to the prophet. Well, guess what? God, to show you the patience and the kindness of God, God raised up a priest named Samuel, who was a priest, also a prophet. Okay, so he had a dual office. He was a priest and a prophet. And God shows this little boy, he tells this little boy, I'm about to judge your mentor. Then he said this, because of the things which he knows about that I've told him about. You see, God did not tell Samuel anything that God didn't already tell Eli. And so when you stand, if someone says, I have a prophetic word for you, if they tell you something that you have not already heard from God, you need to go, put the brakes on. Hold on. Hold on a second. I don't know if I'm feeling that. Right. Let me give you some anecdotal evidence. So in my life, I had started working for this carpet cleaner. It was in March of 1989. Well, as soon as I got the job, I had a prophetic dream. And in the dream, I saw hoses running out of the basement of my mother's house where I was living. I saw hoses, and it was Chem Dry hoses running out the basement. That was the dream. That's all I saw, and I woke up. In April, a month later of 89, we went to a prophetic conference in upstate New York, and a prophet slash apostle named David Ireland, I remember sitting like back when I was 20, wherever I was, 25. And he said to me, he said, the Lord says, you know, you're called to the ministry. He says, but you also have a calling in the business realm, and your calling in the business realm is equally as strong as your call to the ministry. This is a man never saw me before, never met me. He doesn't know my name, know nothing. And he said that. Well, I knew I was called to the ministry when I was 19, when I got saved. But before he said anything about being called to business, I had a prophetic dream showing me that I was going to be involved in this Chem Dry business not as just an employee, but as an owner. That's what the dream meant. You're going to have a ChemDry business running out of your house. In other words, you're going to own it. He confirmed what the Lord had spoken to me privately. A lot of the problems that we have today with the prophetic ministry is that people, because they want to be big, because they want to be thought of as, I don't know, I guess, yeah, they gain their significance from the ministry instead of gaining their significance from Christ. When they get to you, they'll prophesy these great big old things. I see you. You're going to have a worldwide ministry, and you're going to. And I'm sitting there going, Lord Jesus. Now, that could be true. It could be true. And if it is true, get ready. Because in order to have a worldwide ministry, God got to take you through some worldwide trials. No, we don't want that. Now, Lord, I want to be up on high, Lord, but exalt me, but don't humble me. But he can't exalt you without humbling you. Hello? Am I preaching the truth? You know I'm preaching the truth. People better get saved around here. Come on. Look here. So, all right, let me, what time is it? It's 2:50. I got plenty of time. And everybody said amen. Yes. So let me say this. If the Lord has a prophecy for you, he has no problem getting it to you. Listen, God is God. I mean, if he has to use a cat to come up and say meow, 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 and give the interpretation, you're going to get what God wants. But listen, if God has a prophetic word for you, he's going to get it to you. Hmm? Oh, yes. Remember you, many of you will remember that I've told the story before that in 2005, my wife and I were out in Portland, Oregon at a meeting. I had a friend who's a prophet. He's a legitimate, this guy's a prophet. You know, God speaks to him quite often. And we were at the church just worshiping at the pastor's conference, and the lights are drilled down real low in the church. It's dark. You know how people have it, you know, these. This is where the atmosphere, they like it. So anyhow, so when the worship got done, the pastor took the mic and he said, Pat Fowler, where are you? And he's like looking out like this. He can't see. And I'm like, hey, Bob, I'm right here. He says, I'm seeing something. I don't know what this means. I'm telling you, I don't know what it means, but I know this. He says, you coming out your building. He says, you coming out your building. He says, you in the building that's yours? I said, no, we're renting. He said, yeah, well, he said, I see you coming out, but I don't know what that means. So I just took it, tucked it away. I said, okay, I don't know what it means either, but I trust this man as a prophet of God. That was 2005. 2006, I'm sitting in the church around the corner, and a sheriff comes in, Fairfax County sheriff or deputy. He comes in with a summons. He says, you are being sued because, not that we did anything wrong. We're not criminals. We didn't do anything like that. It's just that the occupancy permit on the building was wrong. We had an occupancy permit that allowed 50 people in when we needed one that an assembly which allowed 100 or more in. And they said, so you got to make all the changes to this building. And that's what's going on. I said, okay. And so as soon as I got that in my hand, the prophetic word came back to me that we had a year before. And I was like, oh, this is what the prophet was talking about. Because when I went to talk to the landlord about making all the changes, they said, oh, yeah, that's going to be like $100,000, $200,000. I said, check, please. We leaving. And then we came and we found this. The Lord had it all lined up. But the Lord told us before it happened. That was a true ministry of a prophet. Right. And yet that prophet is not perfect. He's a man. He puts on his shoes. He puts on his pants just the way you and I do. Amen. Matter of fact, he was so human that one time he told me there's a woman in his church that she was just one of them type of women, couldn't keep her mouth shut. Just, you know how some ladies, not all, some just talk. Some brothers too have it, got the gift of gab. They just talk. But they don't talk about themselves. They talk about other people. Now in the church, that, you don't talk about your brothers and sisters. Talk. And so he got to hearing it about it, and it had been bothering him up under his skin. So the one day I went to church picnic, you know, the wonderful church picnic. And something happened, and she said, yeah, I was telling somebody, and he heard her say what she said. He turned around in front of the whole church and said, that's the problem with your big mouth. You won't shut up. This was a prophet. So for all of you people who think prophets are perfect, that they just walking on air and God speaks to them all the time, not. That is not true. They human just like you. Paul was just as human. Matter of fact, his is contained in the book of Acts. He told the high priest, he said, God will smite you, you whited wall. And they smacked Paul upside his mouth. They said, do you revile God's high priest? And Paul says, I'm sorry, I didn't know he was a high priest. I'm like, Paul, you know who a high priest is, Paul. But Paul was human. Paul was human just like you and I. If someone come and slapped you upside your mouth when you were just telling the truth, what wouldn't set well with you either? You know? You'd be doing some holy grinding. You know? So if the Lord wants to get a prophecy to you, he has plenty of means. While a lot of people, though, are chasing prophecies, God's busy in the earth bringing his will to pass. He is bringing his will to pass. Rest assured, God is still on the throne. Amen. Listen, church, the year changed. God hasn't. Amen. 2021 is gone. It's 2022. The year has changed, but God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. So the one who got you and I through 2021 is the same one who's going to carry us through 2022. Amen. Amen. So this past week, I was listening to NPR, and I heard a 1984 interview, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who you will know, passed away this last month. And they were interviewing him, and they asked him, this was 84 now, apartheid was still active and ongoing, and they asked him this, why isn't violence being considered in the fight against apartheid in South Africa? They asked him this question, and he gave a most astonishing answer. He said, it's because we are followers of Christ who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he noted that once you start with the violence, you can't control violence. But this man gave an answer straight out the Bible. And I was shocked. I was shocked. I was pleasantly overwhelmed, shocked that he gave a straight biblical answer as to why they weren't using violence. Where is that conviction in the church today? Because I'm hearing people, quote unquote, Christians saying, we need to take up arms. We need to do whatever we need to do to make sure that our way is what's observed. And I'm saying to myself, for real, is that what Christ said? When Peter picked up his sword to fight, Jesus said, that's right, break out the sword, slay them all. I'm sorry. That is not what Christ said. Put your sword away. Put your sword away. And so when they asked him, where's the violence? Why won't you use violence? He said, no, that was the spirit of Christ. God was working through that man. And in 1997, when apartheid was overturned, this man, God had this man in the place that he was supposed to be in to begin the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. That if you haven't studied it, I just started, and it gave me the chills. My God, my God. But it is necessary. It is necessary. Amen. For healing and to understand the depth of depravity of man without God is there are no words. There are no words, but plenty of tears, plenty of tears. Earlier in the interview, they asked Desmond Tutu, talked to him about his upbringing. And he said this, I wanted to be a doctor, but there was not enough money. So I became a teacher. and eventually a minister. Amen. He wanted to be a doctor, not enough money. The teaching system was so abusive that he left it and became a minister. And in that, that's why I love looking at people's lives, because you can see the hand of God in his life. You see, because what happened to Desmond Tutu was no different than when Jacob sent Joseph, his son, he said, go check on your brothers, see how they're doing. So he goes to Dothan, and it's in Dothan where his brothers take him, throw him in a pit. He ends up in Egypt and later would become vice pharaoh. He would become second in command. Now, he went to look for his brothers, but ended up becoming vice pharaoh, come on, of Egypt. Desmond Tutu went to be a doctor, but he ended up reconciling the whole nation to God, watching over this cataclysmic, this unbelievable torture and brutality of his own people. He ended up overseeing that whole process. Why? Because though he wanted to be a doctor, God made sure he ended up a minister. It was no different than when Saul went looking for his father's donkeys and ended up being anointed king of Israel. Hello. That's like you and I going to the store. I'm going to the store to get some Skittles. Hey, nah, that's the negative one, not that one. Now, I'm just going to the store to get a dozen eggs. I go to the store to get a dozen eggs and I come back, you know, I'm running for the, you know, vice president of the United States or something like that. No, that doesn't happen unless God is in it. And I said all that to say this, that's what he's doing. He's busy bringing his will to pass in my life and in your life. He has places ordained for you to be. You're not there yet, but in 2022, he's going to get you closer and closer to where he has positioned for you to be. There's a place you ought to occupy. There's a place that you ought to realize in his plan. It ain't even not part of your plan yet. You don't even know about it, but he's moving you along the way. That's what's going on in 2022. That's what was going on last year. That's why, what is it? Oh, Proverbs 20:24-20, I believe it is, says that a man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can he understand his own way? See, because God is leading you on the path that he has for you. There are things that he has for you to do, to occupy, to realize, but because you don't know it yet, that's why the journey that you're on looks so, oh, Lord, why is it happening this way? Why? I don't understand. Yeah. Daniel tells us that heaven rules. Heaven rules in the kingdom of men. So right here, right now, with all that's going on, with all the climate change, all the nations rumbling, Russia's talking about, Russia and NATO about ready to go to blows over in Ukraine, this crazy stuff going on, China's, right, there's all these things and people's hearts are failing them for fear, and they're all up in there. And here in America, Christians want to overthrow the government and put Trump back in office, which I don't understand. But we got all kinds of things going on, and people looking at all these other things. And God, through Christ, is working his will in the earth. And all that crazy business people are doing are playing right into his purpose and his plan. So since we often like to start the new year with a resolution, anyone have any resolutions? You don't have to raise your hand. But since we like to start with a resolution, I thought we would follow the what's called the Kipling method, often used in problem solving and project planning. When you set out to do something, you plan something, you ask these questions: who, what, when, where, why, and how. Have you heard that before? Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And so, let me start out with the biggest of those. The number one, which everything rests upon. Who? Who? Let me tell you who's the greatest who in 2022. Let me tell you. The greatest who in 2022. Because we're going to have, there are going to be all kinds of relationships that you and I experienced this year. Their relationship's going to come. There's some new ones. There's some old ones. But there are going to be changes. So you're going to meet people. You're going to come into all kinds of relationships. But the number one who in 2022 is God Almighty. Exodus 3:14, the scripture says, and God said to Moses, who shall I say sent me to the Israelites when they say, you know, who is this person? Who is this? And God said to them, tell them, I am who I am. I am who I am. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am sent you. I am. God is the self-existent one. Amen. He's the eternal one. He's the immutable one. He does not change. You and I change by the moment. You and I change, church. I'll never forget this. I thought about that poor pastor. A few years ago, he was up having his morning service and he got a call from the Secret Service. President Trump is coming and he's going to talk to your people and we want you to lay hands, pray for him. Now, at that moment, that pastor changed. I thought about it. I said, what would I have done? Good Google Mugga. Come on, put yourself in his shoes. Hello. What would you do? What would you do? Because you don't want to be political. You don't want to be political. But then on the other side, 1 Timothy 2:1 says, pray for all men, those who are in authority, for kings and authorities. Pray. So he's got a call. He's up. He's doing the service and he gets this call. And now he's in a whirlwind. I said, oh Lord Jesus, I could not imagine that. I don't judge anybody, but I will tell you this. I will tell you this. A week after that incident, he got up and he apologized to his church. Oh, do we change? When enough pressure gets put on you, see, that's why you can't judge anybody, because no one knows the pressure that he was under. I would never do anything. Okay. Yeah. I thought to myself, wow, but God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hello. He's absolute. Exodus 5:11. The psalm says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? You know what holiness means? Holiness means set apart, separate from others. The Bible says this, there is no one holy like the Lord. You know what that means? There is no one like him. He's in a class all by himself. There's no one beside him. There's no one behind. No one can compare to him in no way. He is supreme. He is absolute. He's self-existent. He's immutable. He's unchanging. And he exists all by himself. Hello? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Let me tell you what God has in store. What he does, what he's going to do for in 2022. He does wonders. He does wonders. He's already done it. We're praying for Leah's family. Because we don't know what's going to happen. Come on, let's be honest. When you get COVID, there's no one who can tell you, or you're going to live or you're going to die. No one can tell you that. Only God knows that. So we're praying. We're praying. And they're coming out of this thing. And I read an article of another family in California. They met when they were 15 years old. They were high school sweethearts. They died of COVID on the same day, hours apart. Hours apart. You say, he does wonders. When I look at Leah and her family, I'm saying, thank you, Lord. You are wondrous, God. You are wondrous. Job 5 and verse 9 says, he who does great things and unsearchable, which means there's so many you could never ever count them. You could never ever account for all that he does. Marvelous things without number. He does marvelous things without number. But guess what, church? In my life, in your life, we can talk, at least talk about the things that he's done in our lives. Because has he done wondrous things in your life? Oh, yes, he has. Oh, yes, he has. Oh, glory to God. Job 41, verse 11. God says this about himself. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Who has preceded me? God is eternal, self-existent. No one precedes him. He says this, everything under heaven is mine. Everything under heaven is mine. So when I hear a foreign leader spouting off at the mouth or a gang leader spouting off at the mouth, I'm like, well, you know, you can do that, but you know, you could be off the planet in a stroke. Off the planet in a stroke of God and by a stroke. Me. Isaiah 42 verse 5, the Lord says, thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it. Notice he said, I created the heavens and stretched them out and spread forth the earth. When he's talking about the heavens, he's not talking about the clouds and the atmosphere here on earth. He's talking about where the James Webb Space Telescope is right now. Anybody following that? I know Bill is. I know Bill. You following it? Yeah. Amen. I'm following it because I get into all this type thing. And but where James Webb is going, God said, yeah, I did all that. I spread it out. Hey. He says, who spreads forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. For those of you who don't know, Moses and Jessica Dumbo became grandparents in the last, week and a half, 2 weeks. And when their grandbaby, came into the world and said, Zuriel took that first breath, God says, I gave breath to the people on the earth. He's the one responsible for every breath drawn, every breath given here on the earth. Amen. That's who is over your 2022. I'm telling you right now, when I think about it, I get all worked up in my feelings. I say, oh God, thank you for letting me know you. Thank you, oh God, for every breath you give me, oh God, that you give us that we might know you, that we might know you and know one another, enjoy you and enjoy one another. It's the purpose that he's given us for life. Amen. Isaiah 44, 24, Judah will be restored. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone and who spreads abroad the earth by myself. By myself. He's making it very clear. You know, a whole bunch of scientists and, you know, the atheists, I get it. I don't hate atheists. I pray for them. I say, oh God, I pray that the Lord reveals himself to you, because there is no mother nature or father time. Mm-mm. There's one God, and he spoke everything we see into existence. That's how great he is. Amen. And God told Job, let me tell you how great I am. He says, can you defeat a lion? He says, well, if you can't mess with a lion, what are you doing up in my face? Hey, hello. We think we big and bad. You know, we're going to do this, do that. God says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Isaiah 45 verse 18, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I am the Lord, and there is no other. That's who is over 2022. And when I think about that, I say, Lord, what am I worried about? No, nothing. So let us remember that our relationship with God is above and like no other relationship. Our relationship with God is above every other relationship and like no other relationship. The next one is what? That was long. The next ones are short. Don't you worry. It ain't going to be long. Oh, we got plenty of time. Who? Let's deal with what? What? 2022, we'll see all kinds of things happen. You say, what kind of things? I have no idea. But you know some things are going to happen in this year. Okay. No, we didn't see it. We didn't see it. And there are things coming down the pike. But what is going to happen is not as great as who is over your life. And so that's why we dealt with who first? Christ, God, in all of his goodness, his kindness, his compassion is over all of what's going to happen. I said, who is over what is all over what's all going to happen this year? Here's the key for me, though. Mark 14:36. Jesus is in the garden. He's in the garden and he's praying to his father. Why am I referencing this scripture? I'm referencing Mark 14:36 because I want you to know something, and you know this too. There are going to happen some things in your life in 2022 that you don't want to happen. Yeah. There are going to be some things you don't agree with. Jesus was going to the cross and he knelt down and he prayed this, Abba Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Did it end there? No. He said, nevertheless, not what I will, not what I want, but what you want. Who, what, when, where? We're dealing with the what. Just remember this, that when things happen in your life that you don't want, turn your eyes to him and cry out for what he wants. Okay? Because it's coming. It's coming. Romans 8:38, however, says this. You remember Paul is talking to the believers and he says, who or what shall separate us from the love of God? Paul says this, I am persuaded, and this is the remedy to what I just shared about what you don't want. This is the remedy. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So what the scripture is saying, no, whatever comes your way in 2022, God says it won't separate you, me from you. He says it will not, not even death, the worst of it all. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But please know that there's nothing going to happen to you in your life in this year that could separate you from the love of God. Amen. So what matters most about 2022 is what can't happen to you. It can't happen. You cannot be separated from the love of God. Let's deal with when, because 2022 will have many different times. Amen. Isaiah 43:1, the scripture reads, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, he did not say if you pass through the waters. Amen. Where do waters come from? Well, you can be on the sea like Jonah was, running from God, and the waters come up and overtake you. Amen. Or you could be walking with God in the storms of life. You can be doing with Jesus what Jesus, let's go to the other side. And as they went to the other side, a storm came up and water began to fill the boat. But waters are going to come against you this year. Hello. God said this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Man, if you remember nothing else about this, please know this. God has promised his presence. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings on mine with 10,000 beside. He's promised us his presence. Hey, I will never leave you. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Let me stop telling stories. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, and the fire is coming, I don't know if it's here or not. Maybe feel a little warm behind you. You know, you feel like, what's going on? You know, I don't know if you're there yet, but make no mistake, there's some fire coming. But he says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Hey, glory to God. You say, what do you mean God only shows up when I'm in trouble? No, but if that was the case, I'll take it. Yeah. You didn't say God is present in the time of trouble. You make no mistake about it. He is. Matter of fact, look for him. You ever just let your mind just breeze over the scriptures? Where do you see God showing up in the Old Testament? Well, three Hebrew boys are thrown in the fire. Jesus standing right there. Hey, fellas. Hey, don't worry about a thing. It's pretty cool in here, ain't it? Don't worry. I got this. Everything's good. But where did he show up? In the fire. In the fire. He showed up with Gideon. Gideon sitting there threshing wheat in the wine press. He showed up in a time of oppression. He came and delivered them. He's very present in the time of trouble. So look for him. Matter of fact, that's the first thing I do. Whenever trouble starts, I'm like, Lobo Kusha, Father, Lord, I just looked at you. Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm looking for you. Oh my God, I need you. I can't do this without you. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So look for him in everything, at all times, right? Psalm 56:3 says, listen, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Whenever I am afraid, and there are going to come some times this year, beloved, where you are going to be afraid. A year ago, my heart started and Justin driving me to the hospital. And I'm going to be real straight with you. I was afraid. What was I afraid of? Was I afraid physically? No, I wasn't stricken with terror. But my mind is going, am I going to live to see tomorrow? That's what I'm going. Is my son going to watch me die here in the car? Am I going to make it to the hospital? All those thoughts start going through your mind. When stuff starts going, you have no control over. And you're like, what is going on? Yeah. That time I ticked it off. The house notes paid, insurance paid, everything's good. Yeah. If I'm gone today, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm done. I'm good. Hey, the biggest one being the insurance. Don't you die, brothers. Don't you die and your wife ain't got a dime. Don't you do that. Hey, look here. Take care of business. First things first. So, but those times are coming. Those times are coming. All right, let's deal with where. 2022 will take us to many places. It's going to take us to many different places. And I don't mean necessarily physical. Okay, so it can be broader than just physical. But the psalmist said this in Psalm 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Say, hey, oh, glory to God. You don't mind me if I get a little excited, because this is a place I live in every day. Because every day I get up, I think about this. Because the Spirit always reminds me that, son, wherever you're headed, I already am. Wherever you're going today, before you get there, I'm already there. So look up. Hallelujah. Look up. Today's a bright morning. It's a bright day because I'm running into his arms. You see, we're never alone. But not only are we never alone in the present, but he's in our future. He's standing in your Monday. He's standing in your Tuesday. Come on. He's standing. Listen, he's standing in 2023. I don't know about you. I have a vivid mind's eye. I have a vivid imagination. And when God, when the first time I preached that message, God standing in your future, I see God standing in 2023 and 2024. He's just standing there, majestic, holy, and saying to me, what are you afraid of? Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. why he is standing in. There is no place where you're going in 2022 where he isn't already present. Think about that. On Wednesday of last week, I went to the last job, and I'm saying to myself, going to the job, I'm like, Lord, this is my last job, and then I get a couple of days off, glory to God, I'm so looking forward to it. I get on my last job, it's this multi-million dollar house, and there's gray carpet in the basement, and it's all this, it's just like nothing to move, real easy job. And I look at it, I said, okay, let me go ahead and knock this out. And I began to clean this gray carpet, and the gray carpet turned green. The gray carpet turned green in front of my eyes. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, what is this? And all my training, we're not trained to deal with this. I'm like, what is this? It's Wednesday. It's my last job. How can the gray carpet turn green? What's going on with the green? I don't understand the green, Lord. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This isn't making any sense. And so I found myself in a place. I'm like, think, Patrick, think. And my thinker's not doing too good. And I'm like, well, I am covered by insurance. And so, I cleaned it and I prayed and I was like, well, Lord, you know, if I have to replace it, I'll replace it. Packed up my equipment, hopped in my truck and drove home and didn't give it any more thought. I just said, it is what it is, you know, and if it stays green, I'll get a call back. And yesterday, I got a text, but it was for another rug. Hey, we want you to clean something else. I said, oh, glory. Hey. Well, then. All right. Oh. I said, well, just to let you know, sometimes when you're dealing with, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and sometimes every now and again, you'll get in one of those situations where something happens that there's no reason that you're just looking at it like, I don't know why that happened. I can't explain why that happened. Lord, I just help me, Jesus, because I don't know why that happened. But I told my family, I told my wife, I told my children, I said, y'all need to pray. Anyhow, 2022 is going to take you some places. But watch this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, this last year, I buried somebody. A month ago, I was at a customer's house in Northwest D.C. As I turned the corner, I got there a few minutes early. I turned the corner, and as I turned the corner to this customer's house, another customer in another part of D.C., Cecilia was her name, the thought just ran through my mind. Cecilia hasn't called you in a while. I was like, yeah, that's right. It hasn't called. She hasn't called. Let me check up on Cecilia. So I Googled her name, and there was her obituary. In August, she passed away. In August, she passed away. Most of us either know someone who's been affected by someone's passing, either this last year. Well, guess what? 2022 is going to have involved with it. You're going to know somebody or be related to someone or have someone close or someone's going to pass away. But David said this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It may even be you. Because 2020, I definitely walked through the valley of the shadow. It seemed like it was right behind me. I didn't know what was going to happen. But God said this, David said this, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Know this. I'm making the same point over and over and over again. God is with us, church. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The same ones comforting the Jones family after Melody's grandmother went to be with the Lord. Others still comforting the family of the man that I buried back in June of last year, praying over them. God's comforting them, keeping so many to think that all the people that God is comforting and keeping around the world is just mind-boggling. So there's no place that life finds us that its presence doesn't keep and comfort us. No place. No place that you or I could come to in 2022. Now let's ask a big question, because we ask this one a lot. Why, God? Why? Joyce Meyer has a sermon titled, Why, God? Why? Because all she did, she was molested by her father, sexually molested by her father when she was young. And it was hard growing up. It was hard. And she constantly asked God, why, God? Why? Well, like Pastor Moses, who isn't here with us today, he's probably watching on the live stream. He says, there are questions that will never be answered on this side of glory. Never be answered. And that's so true. That's so true. But let me deal with this. Isaiah chapter 43. Why does any of this exist? Why do you exist? Why are you here? Huh? Is it just to have fun? Is it to get rich? Is it to have, three cars, two, three, four, five homes, bank full of money? Is that it? Is that it? Because if that's the case, the billionaire woman who hung herself, she missed something because she had it all. She had it all and it still wasn't enough and she took her own life. So that's not it. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. For my glory. Let me help us. Why are we here? We are here for the glory of God, period. We are here for the glory of God. Amen. That's why, Romans 3:23 says, for all have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God made Adam and Eve in his image, in his likeness. And he made a male and female to have relationship with one another, because God is a relational God. And when you find your relationships breaking down, listen, if everyone's breaking their relationships with you, you need to look in the mirror, because the common denominator seems to be, amen. We need to take care of that. Hello. Come on now. Right? But God said he created us for his glory. And the more we live for his glory, the more we understand and experience his fulfillment and satisfaction. Hello. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul's speaking about sexual immorality and what it means to live. And listen, let me say this. We are inundated with sexual immorality in this world. You can't, well, forget TV. You can't turn on radio. Lord knows the internet. It's all, everything's been polluted, right? But listen at what Paul says. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That's another thing that we tend to forget on a daily basis. we tend to forget about our own finiteness, that we're just a vapor here today and could be gone tomorrow. And we forget that this body is not mine. Literally, this is not mine. It's God's. Especially if you're a Christian. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? He's not talking to the sinner. He's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to the Christian. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are you serious? Yes. That means that you mean I can't do any old thing I want to do with my body and my spirit? That's exactly what it means. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. You say, well, how am I supposed to know that? Go do something. The Holy Spirit will be on the inside of you. He'd be like, mm-mm, don't do that. Mm-mm, nope, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And you'll be sitting up there having to wrestle with it. It's called your conscience. It's your conscience. Constantly speaking to us what we have no business doing. That's the big question is, why are we here? Why am I here in 2022? We're here for the glory of God. That's why we're here. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. By your will they exist. You're here today because God willed it. You are here today, not because just because your heart is breathing. Do you know what's keeping your heart breathing? The Bible, God said in the scriptures, if I called my spirit home, all flesh would perish. Think about that. If he just called his spirit home, everyone would drop dead. Why are we all living today? Because he's willed it. He's willed it. And if he by his will has given us life, then we by our will ought to give him our life. That's what Paul is saying. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Listen at this. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Listen, all things were created through him or by him and for him. You mean I was created for God? Yes. That blows me away. That just overwhelms me. Not only was I created for him, but he sent his son to die for this created person who fell into sin and became the enemy of God and had the wrath of God abiding on me. He sent his son to die for me that I might have eternal life and live for him with him forever. And this gives me great delight and great joy. You see. All things were created by him and for him. Okay, last one. How? Because 2022 will present us with many challenges. Many challenges. You say, how am I going to do it? How am I going to get through this year? You know, the people, you know, trying to plan on losing 50 pounds. And they're like, how am I going to do it? I don't have the willpower. Yeah, I know about that. But they're trying to figure out how. They know what needs to be done. They see what the changes need. But how am I going to do it? Reminds me, you know, when Moses was in the wilderness, the desert with the children of Israel cried out. They said, you know, we're hungry. We want something to eat. We want some meat. We want the manna. The manna keeps coming every day. But can you give us some meat? And the Lord said to Moses, he said, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to send meat for the children of Israel to eat. But they're not going to eat for a day. They're not going to eat for a week. They're going to eat for a whole month. Now, if you ever been in a desert, you got over a million people. You feed for a day. That's quite an undertaking. Oh, feed them for a week. God said, no, you're going to have meat for a whole month. And Moses, and this is where, you know, the leadership comes into play. Moses was trying to figure out, well, how is this going to work? And he says to God, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men. 600,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And he says to God, yet you have said, I will give them meat. This is Numbers 11:21. You have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. And then Moses asked God a question. He says, shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together to provide enough for them? So Moses is talking to God and says, God, I don't know. You say you're going to give them meat for a whole month. How is this going to work out? Now, see, here Moses. Now, here we are. This is Moses in our shoes. Because you need something. God says, okay, I'm going to act on your behalf. And then you sit up there. We sit up there saying, God, how are you going to do this now? I don't see how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to do this. And God's saying, yeah, and that's why you down there and I'm up here. See, there's a reason why I'm God. And you're not. All right. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 23, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Has his arm been shortened? In other words, do I not have ability, Moses? Come on. Am I not still God? And he says, and then the Lord says, I love this. He says, now you shall see whether what I say will happen or not. I was like, wow. God and Moses on a real, you know, they're on a real tight basis. He said, watch this. I'm going to show you whether it's going to happen or not, Moses. You're going to see. And I don't have to say that he did it. Amen. He gave them meat for a month. Well, how were the people of God fed in the desert? They were fed by miracles. They were fed by miracles. Now, what gets me sometimes is that when we go to the book or when we look at our lives and we see miracles in the Bible, we want God to do the miracle for us just like he did it in the Bible. Okay, well, see, there's a problem with that. You say, what's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. We're not God. And we don't tell God how to do what he wants to do. You don't tell God. You can try it. Go ahead, matter of fact, go ahead and try it. Come back, let me know how it works out. But it doesn't work. I'm going to tell you right now. It does not work. He's God. And listen, when God goes to do something, he has an infinite number of ways of doing it, which would never even brush our minds. We'll never even do it. So the how was up to God. Man, in the Old Testament, they lifted up rods, spoke to rocks, they hit rocks. Moses held up his arms one time and they won a battle. Joshua spoke to the sun and moon, said, hey, stay right there, don't move. I mean, all these types of miracles. And then I already mentioned Elijah. He prayed, and one of the biggest things that God has given us in terms of the how is prayer. Is prayer. Putting it in his hands, giving it to the Lord. Well, let me ask you this. How did you make it through 2021? And the answer is, it's the grace of God. It's the Lord. He brought you through 2021. Okay. You know who's going to bring you through 2022? The same. He's the same yesterday, today. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. Amen. So let me share this one, a couple more scriptures and we're done. Let me share out of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8. I like this passage. Mark chapter 8 and verse 4. Jesus has been preaching. The people have been staying with him. And then they need to send the disciples said, okay, Lord, send the people away so they may get some provisions. You know, they've been here long. Jesus said, I don't want them to go away. Give them something to eat. And they said, well, we don't have enough to give them to feed all these people, Jesus. And the scripture says, disciples said, how can we satisfy these people with bread here in the desert? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. Now, let me read that again. Let me say that again. Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Now, here's one point I want to make. The amount of loaves that they had no bearing on the miracle which Jesus was about to do. Jesus didn't ask them, how many loaves do you have? Because he was going like, oh, I hope they got at least seven. Because if they don't have seven, I can't do this miracle. No, 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 no. That's not why Jesus asked them how many loaves. The reason why Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? Because he wanted them to remember after the miracle was done. How many loaves did I start with? Do you remember what I did? That's why he was asking them. Hello. Because you remember in his temptation in the wilderness, the devil said to him, turn these stones into bread. Jesus didn't need loaves. Huh? Listen, Jesus doesn't need us, y'all. Hello? You ever thought about that? He doesn't need me, but because I'm part of his bride, the church, we're one. The two shall become one flesh. And he always involves his church. He always involves his bride. Just like Carl never spends money without telling Diane, because Diane gonna be like, you know. No, they're one. They're one. They're one. Me and my wife are one. When I make business decisions, I talk business with her. I talk money with her. I ask her opinion on everything. Everything. I run it past my wife. Do I listen to everything she says? No. But I do run everything past her. Does the Lord do everything? He runs something past you. Does the Lord ever run things past you? Yes, he does. He did in the Old Testament. Hey, Abraham, I'm going down here to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, What do you think? And yeah, he ran it past Abraham. So He says to them, they said seven, okay? Now, in Mark chapter 8, verse further down in chapter 8, verse 17, it says this. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, because what had happened was they got on a boat and Jesus started talking to them about the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the doctrine or the teaching of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He was telling his disciples, don't be a hypocrite like the Pharisees are a hypocrite. Good lesson, another sermon. All right. But so when he started talking about leaven, they said, oh, it's because we didn't take any bread. See, they haven't gotten it yet. They're like, oh, it's because we don't have any bread. And he said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? What Jesus is saying to them is this. Why are you worried about bread? Which is greater, the bread I started with or the bread that was left over? Do you remember the bread that was left over? Jesus is about to remind them. Okay. And he said to them, and do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Wait a second. You mean God is this great that he can start with 12 pieces of bread, but start with five pieces of bread, but end up with 12 baskets full of bread? In other words, listen, when God get done, you're going to have more than what you started with. That's God. And he didn't want his disciples to forget that. So listen, where you and I are started with in 2022, God says, listen, I'm able to give you exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask. I'm able to do way more than that. But here's what I want to know. Are you going to remember? Will you remember? Will you remember? Also, when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, seven. And he said to them, how is it you do not understand? What is it that they were missing? They were missing this fact. Jesus didn't need bread. Do you understand what I'm saying? He took, listen, something plus something is more of something, okay? But Jesus started with a little something and got grossly more than he started with. Listen, yeah, can't nobody do that, church. That does not happen. That was a miracle of God. And how did it happen? It happened by the miracle touch of Jesus, by his blessing and his multiplying. So what we need to understand is that God is the how to the problem of lack in our lives. And he's going to do it the way he's going to do it. Question is, will we remember? He wants us to remember. Amen. Do we remember what the Lord did in 2021? Yes. And that's good because he hasn't changed. He's going to do the same thing in 2022. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we thank you for another day, another week, another month, another year that you have given us. We thank you, oh God, because we recognize all life comes from you. All life is sustained by you, and all life is going to find its end in you. And so, God, we proclaim your sovereignty over 2022, your sovereignty over our lives. My God, not only over our lives, but all the earth is yours. All the heavens are yours, oh God. An asteroid cannot strike earth, but that you will it strike earth. Oh God, nothing can happen, but you will it, oh God. And so we thank you that you are Lord both over heaven and earth. We thank you, oh God, that you hold us in the palm of your hands, that you're standing in our future. You're standing in our tomorrow, oh God. We do not fear tomorrow because we know who owns tomorrow. And so we thank you, oh God, that you are the who. You have control over the what, the when, the why, the where, and the how. All of our life, Lord, is in your hand. And we thank you that you are good. We thank you for your compassions and your mercies that never fail. I ask your blessing over this church family, oh God, and Lord, all the influence that you have given us, Lord, to touch other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we do it so to the glory of God. May we live for your glory all this year, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you.